Exodus verse 1, starting in verse 6. It says, in time, Joseph and all his brothers died, ending that entire generation. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so greatly, they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. Verse 9, he said to his people, look, the people of Israel now, they outnumber us. They're stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. They will escape from the country. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities and supply centers for the king. Verse 12. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied. The more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied. And they spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. Years passed, and the king of Egypt died, but the Israelites continued to groan under the burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and their cry rose to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel, and he knew that it was time to act. Turn to your neighbor and say, is it time to act this morning? Is it time to act this morning? And so our text this morning starts out by describing that it's the end of a generation. An end of the generation. Life for many defined by moments and times, ages. Some consider the greatest generation born 1901 between 1901 and 1927. Some consider the greatest generation born between 1901 and 1927. Why? Because they saw major shifts in American economics, the technological progress, the military triumph. Gen X, I'm describing a few different generations. Gen X is said to have seen the most change in life and have become the most flexible. Born between 1965 and 1980. Flexible, ready for change, prepared to work through every situation. Critical thinkers, communicating. They even wanted to change the way that we dress at work. Sounds like a great generation. Gen Z, crazy enough with Gen Z. They struggle the most with mental well-being, feeling stressed to the point of not being able to do anything. 58% of the women, 40% of the men, so stressed they feel like they can't cope. Different generation, baby boomers, born 1946 to 1964. The wealthiest, most influential generation in America. They represent $54.7 trillion of U.S. wealth. $54.7 trillion in the U.S., the baby boomers, 53% of the total wealth in America. Gen Z, born 1996 to 2012. The millennials, born 1980-1995. Gen X, 1966 to 1979. Baby boomers, 1945 to 1965. You know, every generation has lived, they've voiced their opinion, they've done different things, slightly different clothes. We know that clothes, styles, and trends, they circle around. Everyone tries to put a stamp on time and how they lived and what they lived for. And we look at this generation in the start of our text this morning, there was a man named Joseph. Turn to your neighbor and say, who's Joseph? He's such a sweet guy. But it was the end in this generation for a man named Joseph and his family. Every generation plays a part in our world from the very beginning of time to the day that we live in now. And Kim and I and some of us here, we're in our 40s. We all have played a part in our different time in different generations. Not that we want to admit our age, right? But we all have played a part. And the biggest thing to ask yourself this morning as we think about the word generation is, how have I been impacted by my generation, and what am I doing to make an impact on my generation? As I'm studying generations and I'm looking at that, it's troubling and it's sad to see Generation Z has the hardest time in life. If they feel stressed out, they don't go to work. If they feel like they're depressed, they don't want to go to work. It's hard and crazy to me. You know, for somebody who, you know, born in a different time period, we're born where we're learned to change and have critical thinking and we just adapt faster. This next generation, what happened from our generation to Generation Z to where if life is just slightly stressful, I don't want to work, I'm too depressed, I can't do anything. What has happened between the generations? What has happened from the generation from the beginning, Genesis, all the way to Revelation? What's happened in my lifetime? What's happened in your lifetime? How has it impacted you? And what are you doing to make an impact? Now, one of the things as we think about generations to understand is no matter what happens in a generation, no matter what's being said about a type of generation, how many of us know we don't ever have to be what people say we are, right? No matter what people say we are, we do not have to be what people have described, what people have put a stamp on for each generation. We can be who God made us to be freely, right? Every single day. And as generations come and go, and as our generation will come and go, and as every single generation will come and go, what do we do in our generation, in our time, and in this moment? What have I done? If I live my life to the max capacity so that when I go on from this life to the next, have I done all that I can do to make an impact and make the world a better place? In this moment, in this time, there was an end of a generation, and it was a great generation because there was a man named Joseph who was forgotten. And Joseph was forgotten. He was a man from a very young age. He kind of had a good and a bad life. He had a good life because he was spoiled by daddy. He had a good life because he was spoiled. He was loved. He got the best outfits, the biggest allowance, the nicest cars. Joseph was a young boy who grew up, and he, because he was spoiled, he had the best of the best. But because he had the best of the best, and because he had a vision for life, because he had a dream and a zest for life, you know what that did? That caused his brothers to hate his guts. And so Joseph, even though he was loved by his dad, he was hated by his brothers, and he was hated to the point where his brothers wanted to kill him. They decided not to kill him. They sold him into slavery. Joseph becomes a slave in Egypt. He rises to the top of the household. The household father sees that this man is blessed at everything that he does, and so he gives him the top position in his house and says, "You are an amazing young man." And at the top of his game is being a slave. Even though he was a slave, he was making the best of his opportunity. He gets falsely accused of something that he didn't do, and then what happens? He gets thrown in jail. Man goes to jail. What does he do in jail? He makes the most of his opportunity in jail, and so he works hard, and he helps people every single day, and so he rises to the top within the ranks of a jail. And being in jail, he goes from the jail, he goes into the palace, and in the palace he rises to be second in command of Egypt. And Joseph became a great man of Egypt who saved the Egyptians. And not only did he save the Egyptians, he made them a very wealthy country at this time. They lived and they survived because one man was filled with the Spirit of God and who had wisdom. This man who affected the entire community, all the surrounding cities, people came from all over to buy grain from Joseph and from Egypt. Why? Because God had given Joseph special ability. But no matter how great Joseph was in his time, in our text this morning, they got to a point where they forgot about Joseph. The Egyptians, the king, the Pharaoh, no matter all that Joseph had done, they forgot about him. And when they forgot about him, it says that the next thing that happened is they became simply afraid of the Jewish people. They became afraid of the Jewish people because they were like rabbits. They were multiplying like crazy everywhere they were, everything that they did. These Jewish people, these Israelite people, they were multiplying like crazy. And so because they forgot about Joseph and because they're looking at these people, they became afraid. Their hearts became afraid, and they said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because these people, they're multiplying so quickly. They're going to take over. They're going to take over our land. They're going to take care. They're going to kick us out of our houses. They became afraid. The king became afraid. Pharaoh became afraid. The new guy in charge. And because he became afraid, he decided to control the Jewish people. You know, fear does weird things inside of us. If you study fear, you know that fear inside of us causes stress, anxiety. Fear causes blood flow, heart problems. Fear, it blinds people. This is really important. Fear blinds people to the good that others are doing. Fear only allows a person to see fear and nothing else. Fear harms our health and our well-being. Fear harms our relationships. Fear harms the capacity to learn. Fear destroys communities. Fear destroys life opportunities. Fear for many people puts people in a self-protection mode and a survival mode. Fear is stressful. And this morning, as we're talking about fear, and in this situation, there was a man who became afraid because he did not want to lose his power as king. And so what did he decide to do? He decided, I'm going to control other people. Now, interestingly enough, this story happened just a few years back, but nothing has changed in humanity. When we as people become afraid, we do the exact same thing. When men, women become afraid, they try to control one another. When our government becomes afraid of losing power, what do? They want to control the people that they're in charge of. Nothing has changed from the beginning of time to today. People, men and women, kids, everyone across the world, they are still trying to use this weapon called fear. Today's generation has become a generation of people who have become deeply afraid of missing out. Oh, well, if I don't do this, I'm going to miss out. Man, if I don't do this, if I don't indulge, I'm going to miss out. If I don't do this, I'm going to miss out. If I don't do this, I'm going to miss out. I better jump in. I better take this. I better do this. And I wonder this morning what we are afraid of. I wonder this morning how many of us, what fears and what different fears that we've dealt with and battled all of our life. We know that at a young age, some of us in here, we don't want a minute, we were afraid of the dark, right? The dark was scary. It was spooky. Some of us in here, one of the number one fears, spiders. I don't know about you, but I hate spiders to death. Those things are disgusting. They have legs and they crawl and they want to bite you. So many different fears in our world today, and every one of us in here this morning, we probably battle with at least one thing that we're afraid of. And I wonder what your fear is. I wonder what it is that keeps you afraid. Fear drives us to become blind to the good that other people are doing. Fear becomes blinders, and so that we can't see anything else but our fear alone. And so the king, because he was afraid, he made the Jewish people become slaves. They had to work. They had to build things. They were whipped. Some of them were killed. He made them do whatever he wanted to do. But he put people in charge. He says he had foremen. He had general managers. He had all of these men who were doing what? They were putting other people and making them slaves. They became slaves. They were enslaved to the Egyptian people. This happened years ago, but how many of us know today that even in our world today, there's still 44 to 45 million slaves in our world today? We look back and we've seen slavery in a different light and in different generations, and we say it's horrible what we've done as people, but yet there's still 44 to 45 million people who are enslaved today. Today, in 2024, there are still slaves all around our world. There are still slaves today. And how many people have done different things because we look at history, we look what happened in the past, and we say it's horrible, it's so wrong. If you ever notice, we as people, because we're so special, we like to talk about what's wrong, but we don't like to do anything about what's wrong, right? There was slavery, and we hate what we did when we had slaves, but yet there's still 45 million people who are enslaved today, 45 million people who are enslaved today, and we can say it's horrible what we did in the past, but if we're not doing anything to change the present, then what are we doing? We're only talking. What gives a person the right? What gives a person the right to physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally enslave somebody? If you look up to the word enslave, it means to make someone a slave, to cause someone to lose their freedom or choice of action. And there are men and women around the world who are silently and publicly trying to enslave us people today, trying to enslave the American people and people all over the world. There are people who it is their choice. This is what they want to do. They want to enslave people. They want to make a slave. I love the definition, cause someone to lose their freedom or choice of action. How many of us have ever heard of the word of illusion? To make you feel like something's there when it's not really there. And there's people today who they want to give us the illusion of freedom, but not being free at all. There's people today who are moving and trying to change our world, to give the devil, Lucifer's one of the biggest ones out there, he's given the illusion of freedom. This is how you can live. This is what you need to do. The illusion of freedom, but not being free at all. 45 million people still in slavery today. And there's young kids, there's middle-aged kids, and there's adults who are still slaves today. There's kids. Tragically, how many of us, our hearts break when we see bad things happen to kids? There's kids who are walking around forced, hard, disgusting labor right at this moment, 7 days a week. Slaves. Why? And in our text this morning, no matter what these men did to the Jewish people, you know what? They were blessed no matter what. It says that as the oppression grew, the meaner the Egyptians became, you know what happened? The Jewish people multiplied. God giving life. God opens a womb. God can close a womb. And so they tried to stop the birth of these kids and babies. They tried to stop the growth of these human beings. They tried to stop the Jewish people. But no matter what bad things were going on in the world, no matter what was happening, the Jewish people were blessed no matter what. They were blessed, blessed, blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, blessed no matter what. This is the mode in mind that God wants us to live in. No matter what happens in our world today, no matter what happens in 2024, no matter what happens in 2030, no matter what happens the next 5 years and 10 years, God wants us to live a life that we are blessed no matter what. No matter what is going on, no matter what people say about us, no matter what things happen and do in us and around us, God wants his people, his sons and his daughters, to live just like these Jewish people did in this day. Blessed no matter what. And when our lives are given into the hands of God, when we say, God, I trust you, I believe you, I follow after you. Numbers 6:24 says, May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord show his favor and give you his peace. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I will bless them. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Give you his peace. God wants to bless you this morning. God wants you to be blessed. And that doesn't mean financially in just one regard, but God wants to bless you in every area of your life. And we ask ourselves sometimes, how come we don't feel blessed? Maybe how come I don't feel that I'm taken care of or protected? How come I don't feel this? The biggest thing and the greatest factor in this equation is learning to trust and believe and follow after. And those who put their lives in the hands of God, he will take care of them. And so for these people and the Jewish people, no matter that they were slaves, they were working hard, even though they were being blessed and they're growing, it says they started to cry out to God for help. Because how many of us know when we feel like we hit the end of when we get to the bottom of the barrel, when we get to the bottom of the pit, most people, that's when they look up and cry out to God. The Jewish people, over and over and over again, their story from beginning to end, as they would get into trouble, as they would lose things, as things would happen, it's then when they would cry out to God. And it says that God in this story, in Exodus, the last part, it says, as years passed and the king of Egypt died, the Israelites continued to groan under the burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and their cry rose to God. God, hearing their groaning, he remembered his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel, and he knew that it was time to act. And I wonder this morning, is there any of us in here, any of us watching, who are crying out to God for one thing? And we're asking and we're believing for one thing. You know, God hears our prayers. God hears everything that we pray for. But one of the things to remember is we're praying. 1 Peter 3:12 says, it says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Psalms 34:17, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. God hears. As he heard them, God is listening to you this morning. And as Peter, and as in the Old Testament, the writer of Proverbs, he said, listen, if you do what's right, and you're trusting, believing, and following God, he's going to rescue you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to meet your needs. And so for this morning, we're going to actually shift gears a little. We're going to go to Exodus. We're going to fast forward in the story. Exodus 5, verse 6. It says, the same day Pharaoh sent this order to the Egyptian slave drivers and the Israelite foremen. Do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make these people get it themselves. Still require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They're lazy. That's why they're crying out, let us go and offer sacrifices to our God. Load them down with more work. Make them sweat. That will teach them to listen to lies. Verse 10, the slave drivers and foremen went out, told the people, this is what Pharaoh says. I will not provide any more straw for you. Go get it yourself. Find it wherever you can, but you must produce just as many bricks as before. So the people scattered throughout the land of Egypt in search of stubble to use as straw. Meanwhile, the Egyptian slave drivers continue to push hard. Meet your quota of bricks. Meet your quota of bricks. Meet your quota of sales. Meet your quota of bricks. Just as you did when we provided you with straw, they demanded. When they whipped the Israelite foremen, they put in the charge of the work crews. Why haven't you met your quotas yesterday or today, they demanded. The Israelite foremen went to Pharaoh and pleaded with him, please don't treat your servants like this, they begged. We're given no straw, but the slave drivers still demand, make bricks, make bricks. We are being beaten, but it's not our fault. Your own people are to blame. But Pharaoh shouted, you're just lazy, lazy. That's why you're saying, let us go and offer sacrifices to God. Now get back to work. No straw will be given to you, but you must still produce the full quota of bricks. The Israelite foremen could see that they were in serious trouble when they were told, you must not reduce the number of bricks you make each day. As they left Pharaoh's court, they confronted Moses and Aaron, who were waiting outside for them. And the foreman said to them, may the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword in their hands, and they excuse to kill us. Last part, verse 22. Moses went to the Lord, and he protested, what have you brought all this trouble on your own people? God, why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesperson, he has been even more brutal to your people, and you have done nothing to rescue them. And so we shift gears into this part of the story. We're looking at a man. Last week we started with a man named Moses and his story. And there was a burning bush, and he has this massive encounter with God. And then we rewinded a little bit to a story with the Israelite people and the Jewish people before Moses is introduced. Moses gets a word from God. He has an encounter with God. He's told to go and stand before Pharaoh. And as he goes and stands before people, before Pharaoh, he says to Pharaoh, listen, God wants us to go worship for 3 days. He wants us to go on a journey. He wants us to go and offer sacrifices of us to him. So let the people go. Let all the Israelite people go. Pharaoh says, how about I let the men go? No, not the men. He wants all of us to go. And so Pharaoh gets extremely upset. And it says he took away part of the supplies, but yet still demanded the same amount of work. Does that ever seem familiar the people and evil people in this world today? Have you ever felt like more is being asked, more is being demanded? Does it ever feel like there's just seems like life has doubled? There's just certain things that happen. Is our life so different than the life of these people in this story on the path and the journey to freedom? Is it really so different than our story? And it seems like if you were to take a step back and if you look at being a believer, being saved, if you look at being someone who's been delivered, if you look at relationships, if you look at everything good in life, on the path, on the journey to freedom, how many of us have seen when I take one step forward to something good, it seems like something becomes more difficult? When people take a step closer to God and they're just about to be saved, when we have a friend, when we have a family member, when there's somebody we know and they're just about to be saved, all of a sudden life hits and it's horrible and it's hard and it's tragic. And then they take a step back because it's become so hard. In life, when Christian people, when they give their life to God and they're getting closer to be delivered, because many people who give their life to God doesn't mean they're immediately free of everything in their life. Many people live their life making bad choices, and bad choices create habits, and habits create chains and shackles in our life. So just because people, men and women and kids, have given their life to God does not mean they live in freedom. Many people do not live in freedom today because they're continuing in wrong choices. You look at this story and you look at this text here this morning, these people, God heard their prayers. He said, I'm going to deliver my people. I'm going to send them out. They're going to be taking money as they go. All these things that sound good. But while they were waiting for freedom, while they were waiting to get out, what happened? Life got harder. Life got worse. They had to work twice as hard. Some of them were whipped. It became worse. And for every single person, the Jewish people and us today, our stories are not so different. When something good is about to happen, something becomes more difficult right in front of us to see. What will we decide to do? Will we push through? Will our family and our friends push through to becoming saved? Will they push through so that they can get delivered? Will our family and friends, will they push through on the way to being provided for? You think about truth for a minute. How many of us remember Truth or Dare? How many of us remember little games we played as kids? How many of us, to this day, to this moment, we know that there's stories, there's truth, there's fiction. How many of us know that there's movies that are based on real situations, and then there's other movies that are just absolutely ridiculous, made-up movies and stories? We live in this world that has truth, and then there's not truth. But truth is the most powerful thing on our planet. Truth, this morning, is the absolute most powerful thing. To know, number one, the truth about what God says about you. Not anybody else in this world. What God says about you. Do we know as our identity the number one thing that God in heaven, God who created the heavens and the earth, the most important truth that we can learn as a person is the truth that my God in heaven, he says about me. No matter what people have said, no matter what's happened in my life, the number one truth that is extremely important to know is what God says about you. Your identity as a man, as a woman, to know it all rests in the balance of what God has put you here on the earth to do. The truth. In the beginning, just as truth was spoken, what happened? We know that lies were spoken as well. And so how many people today, thousands of years have gone on and have passed, and how many lies have we believed as people? How many people have listened to the lies of the enemy over and over and over again? Lies about ourselves. Many of us, we get up every single day, and the minute we wake up, the devil is there hitting us with lies. We open this morning with a text of a man named Saul. this man, it says that God sent a tormenting spirit to this guy. He woke up and lived his life with a tormenting spirit, a spirit that bothered him, a spirit that was around and agitating him, a spirit that was frustrating him. And the only time that spirit would go away is when worship music was being played. There are things in life on our path and on our journey to freedom that are happening every single day and every single moment, just like in the text today, just like in our story of the people that we read about. And as we get close to freedom, as the Jewish people were getting close to run out of Egypt, what happened? Life became harder. And I wonder this morning, as they had to push through, what's God asking you to push through? What is God asking me? What is God asking us this morning to push through? What are the lies? What are the things that we have believed and we've said in concrete in our life? What are the things that maybe are really good just right in front of us? But God's saying, you're going to have to push through this to get there. You're going to have to push through this moment to get to the best place in your life. You know, we see in this story, evil people do evil things. Evil people do evil things. And so we live in a world, there's good people and there's evil people. That's it. There's good and there's evil people. That is it. There's godly people and there's ungodly people. And that's it. One of the things that Pharaoh said in the text, he says, listen, why would I let you go worship God? I don't know who God is. So why would I let you leave when I got free labor here? Why would I let you do anything? I don't know who God is. And so there are many people around the world, like puppets, being driven to do things because they don't know who God is. And sometimes people don't know who God is. You know why? Because maybe we haven't told them who God is. This morning, we start to celebrate Independence Week, and many of us know that our great country, as we start to wrap up, this great country was founded on men and women who, years ago, they lived under the control of a government that was hard, pushed people down to the ground. And so there was men and women who left to find life and the hope of freedom in a different sense. They wanted to find religion and the freedom to be able to pursue God in the way that they wanted to. And so men and women left and they came to this place called America, this great place. And for years they had to work, they had to fight to what? To get the freedom that we now have as Americans. And so this week celebrates 1776, when these men and women, when they put together the Declaration of Independence, stating we will be a free place, a free country. We will separate ourselves from Great Britain and we will be free. These 13 colonies that we're starting with, we will celebrate our own freedom because we are going to write our story. We're going to write, we're going to pin the things and how we want to go from here on out, not under the control of any man or government, but we, the people, dictating who we are and what we do and what God has put us here to do. And so they put together the Declaration of Independence that we celebrate years of freedom this year in Independence Week, celebrating, stating men and women have given their life so that I can be free in this country. Whether it feels free or not, whether it feels, and no matter what we feel, no matter what we think is going on in our world, and there's a lot of crazy things, men put on paper and they stamped it with their signature. This is what our country needs to do moving forward. Let's be free. Let's be free. Let's stand and be free, that every individual can stand and be free, and every individual can worship God without being pushed aside. Let's be free. But how many of us know freedom isn't free? And how many men and how many women died so that we could have the Declaration of Independence? How many people died and gave their life? How many people gave their life up as a sacrifice so that we could have a taste of freedom? And just as the story of our country, America, God bless America, how many of us know, just like the story of this great country, there is another freedom that we are looking for. James 1:2 says, God blesses those who who patiently endure testing, temptation, because afterwards they'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Galatians 6:9, let us not get tired of what's doing good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, do good to everyone. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you are free. Galatians 5:13, you've been called to live in freedom. And so from our very young age, one of the greatest heart's desire we have as people is free. And how many of us have seen, at a very young age, we want to be free? It's like our dog Stella, she wants to be free. As soon as there's a crack in the door, man, she wants to take off. Our other dog, Mac, he could be happy and lovey-dovey and just hang out and be petted and fed and cared for, and he's happy as can be. But not Stella. Stella wants to be free. You know, every heart in here, every heart inside, every one of us this morning, there's a desire and a choice to move towards freedom. But sometimes we get misguided in where we think freedom comes from. There's many people, there's many people out there that all have an opinion and all say this is the path to freedom. And this week we honor the men and the women who have given us this country, who pass it on to us. But more than them, and they're great this morning, it's the time to honor God, because he's the only one who gives us truly the freedom that this heart desires. Every one of us, we desire to be free from the inside out. And only God can do that. And did it come absolutely free? No. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross. God gave his one and only son because he loves us, because he cares for us, and he wants us to be free from the inside out, so that every person who believes, every person who follows after, every person who gives their life to God, if the Son sets you free, Jesus said, you are free indeed. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news. He sent me to proclaim the captives will be freed, the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free. And the time of the Lord's favor has come. No matter how we feel free as a country, it doesn't change that many of us still don't feel free inside. No matter how freeing, no matter who's running the country, no matter how many great things have happened the last couple hundred years, how come many of us, we still don't feel free? Because the greatest freedom and the greatest desire that all of us have in here this morning, it will never be met, and it's never going to be satisfied unless Jesus Christ becomes your God. And it's one of those things. When I like something, like chocolate's one of my most favorite things in the whole wide world, I would gladly tell people about how great chocolate is. Love, life, the beach, Disneyland, God, church, family, all these things that I love and I stand for. All of those things that are inside me that I love and I stand for. But what good is it if I talk about all the good things if I don't talk about the person who gives me life and freedom? Should I keep that to myself? And if I don't, if I can't share Jesus, then it begs the question, am I truly free? Because if I'm truly free, I'm going to offer this freedom to everyone I see. This week we celebrate Independence Week. This is one of the greatest weeks, you know, as obviously we say about Christmas and Easter. And this week truly is great because it's a week where we celebrate the independence that God has given to us, that men and women who have died and given their lives so that our country, so that we can taste freedom, symbolizing, standing for the freedom that only comes through Jesus Christ. Our country was a beacon and meant to be the beacon of light to the world. In the beginning days, we paid missionaries to travel, to preach the good news and the gospel. This country, the light of the world. And some of the lights have been turned out, and some of us have been bruised up, because along the way, this country has gone through a lot of different changes As we've seen this morning, there's many different generations, and we all feel different in every different generation. There's things that happen in every different generation. And so hearts and minds change through generations. And we're at a point in history where more than ever, because of Google, Dr. Google, Google has become everything to many people. With the increased knowledge, what's crazy, with the increased knowledge that we have today, with the increased technology that's come out and come forth, with the increase in our headspace that for many feels like it's going to explode, Generation Z, said to be one of the most technologically advanced generations of kids, young adults. But yet they still feel more stress and have more anxiety and more depression than anyone ever before. With the increase of knowledge comes responsibility. With the increase of technology and knowledge and freedom comes responsibility. Moses, this man that we're going to look at, and we started last week and we continued on today, but we looked at it a little bit differently this morning. God could have snapped his fingers and he could have freed the Jewish people. They could have just walked out dancing, doing cartwheels, you know, all those good things. All he had to do, right? He could have spoke, boom, and they just walk out free as can be. God could have sent lightning bolts and struck the Egyptians down by himself. He didn't need any help, right? God, does God truly, honestly need anybody's help? He doesn't. But at the end of the day, you know what he chooses to do? He wants to work through us. Does he need us? No. But you know what? He chooses to work through us. He's worked through years of this country. He worked through Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And today in 2024, he's asking to work through you. As I have given and offer freedom so that you can be free, offer your life as a voice, as a message, as a story, continuing to speak of this story so that others can see and taste the freedom that only God can give. Let's pray.